to turn to the 46th Psalm, Psalm 46. Consists of 11 verses. We'd like to read all 11 verses. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. This is a psalm of praise to God. Psalm of confidence, psalm of assurance. It is a psalm that is applicable to every child of God, though not fully realized and though not fully appreciated by any of us. And the more that we realize the truth of this psalm, the happier we'll be, the more content we will be, the more assurance that we will have, the more peace that we will have, the more useful we will become in the Lord's service, and the more fruitful we will be in our lives, the more we realize the truth that is stated in this psalm. We read the entire psalm for the sake of background, and certainly there's much here, but we just want to take the message tonight from verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to speak tonight on the subject of a very present help. So we want to look again just at verse 1. We'll go word by word. We see the first word is that word God. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. It's always used in the plural, referring to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it speaks of the Trinity. It speaks of the Trinity acting in unity. It's always translated G-O-D in the Old Testament. And it occurs about 2,500 times in the Old Testament. It is the very first name that we see in the Word of God, for God, there in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. And that is the same word that is used here in Psalm 46 in verse 1. The word Elohim simply means the strong, faithful one. The strong, faithful one. And again, the first time it's used, we're reminded it's used in connection with God's creative power. And if you would look there in Genesis 1 and 2, we'll not go there now, but Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you'll see the name occurs about 35 times, all in relationship to the creative power of God. And it is this God, a faithful, strong creator, that is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We see he's referred to in the psalm by some other titles. In verse 4, he is referred to as the Most High, simply meaning that he is the Sovereign One. If he is the Most High, that means that no one is higher. No one is even on the same level. He is the Most High. He is the Most Exalted. He is the Sovereign One. He is over all. And again, it's not much comfort if there's something stronger than your refuge, if there's something stronger than your strength, if there's something stronger than your help, you don't have much. But we see the Most High is our refuge. The Most High is our strength. The Most High is our help. We see in verse 7 and verse 11, he is referred to as the Lord of hosts, which again speaks of his sovereignty, but it speaks of his sovereign control. He is in control of all the hosts, whether it be the angelic hosts, that is, angels or fallen angels, doesn't matter. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, on and on you can go. He is the Lord of hosts. He has sovereign control. We see also in verse 7 and verse 11, he is referred to as the God of Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The God of Jacob is a God of election, is a God who makes a sovereign choice. And it is this Sovereign One, this one who has absolute control over all hosts, this God of Jacob, that is the God of election, that is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. We see also in this psalm concerning God, in verse 5, we read that God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. And then notice in verses 8 in verse 9, and that word God is in the midst shows that God is involved. A lot of people today will say that they believe in God, but they don't believe that God is involved with anything. There's a lot of Christians that believe that. They believe in God, but he just a spectator. He's not involved. Well, there's not much comfort in that. What's the use of having a God if he is not involved with the everyday affairs of life? But God is in the midst. That is, God is involved. He's not only involved, we see that he's active. In verse 8 and verse 9, we read, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." In other words, God is involved and God is active. He is involved and God is doing something. It's not a God whose will is resisted. It's not a God whose will can be resisted. It's not a God whose designs are frustrated. We're talking about a sovereign God who is in absolute control of all things, who is in the midst of everything. He is involved and he is active. That is the kind of God that we want for our refuge. That is the kind of God that we want for our strength. That is the kind of God that we need in trouble to be our help. And that's what we have this evening. God, and then notice the next word is, God is. God is. That is, whatever happens, come what may, God is. God is everything that he is. He is everything that he ever was. And notice in verses 2 and 3, there's a lot of things that can happen. "Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed." Though the earth be removed, God is. Nothing changes that. Nothing changes the fact that God is. "And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea," God is. No matter what happens, God is. "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof," God is. And then he goes on and he tells us here in verse 1 what he is. He's God. God is. God is God. But he says, God is our. God is our. That's personal. That means He is involved in our life. And we can make personal use of God. God is our refuge. Now that implies that there's going to be storms. No need for a refuge if there's no storms. God is our refuge. And God is greater than any storm. Whatever storm comes in our life, He is the Most High. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Jacob. God is our refuge in all storms. So when the storm comes, you and I are to flee to our refuge. The word refuge also implies danger. There are dangers, humanly speaking. There are no dangers to God. But to you and I, humanly speaking, there are things that we perceive as danger. And God is our refuge in danger. A refuge implies difficulty. There are difficulties. God is our refuge in difficulty. God is a refuge, and that implies that there is a need. We are needy people, and we have a refuge. Now, refuge is a place of protection. It is a place of protection. It is also a place of availability. A refuge will not do any good if it's not available. So the fact that God is our refuge means that God is, not only is He involved, and not only is He active, but He is available. He is available, and again, God is our. That is, God is available to me. God is available to me as a refuge. So a refuge, there has to be availability. There not only has to be availability, there has to be access. There has to be a way that you and I can get to the refuge. Again, there's no need to have a refuge if you can't get to it. So God is our refuge. That means that you and I have access to God. In times of difficulty, in times of storm, in times of danger, in times of need, whatever the time might be, we have access to God. He is our refuge. He goes on, he says, not only is God our refuge, but He is our refuge and strength. That is, in addition to being our refuge, God is our strength. That is, Creator God is our strength. The very God who created everything is our strength. The very God who is the Most High. The very God who is the Lord of hosts. He is our strength. And again, the word our here is of utmost importance. Think about that word strength. God is our strength. There's a lot of ways that you can read that. There's a lot of words you can put in the place of strength without taking away any of its meaning. God is our strength. That means God is our muscle. God is our muscle. God is our force. There is no greater force. There is no greater muscle than the Most High. And God is our force. That is, God is our might. When I think of strength, I think of vigor. God is our vigor. God is our stamina. When you think of strength, you think of sturdiness. That which is going to withstand. You think of that which is firm. God is our sturdiness. God is our firmness. In other words, God's strength is exercised on our behalf. And God's strength is available to us. It is available to us to draw from. Can you think of any greater strength to draw from? Can you think of any greater strength to lean upon than God is our strength? It means that we have access. If God is our strength, that means that we have access to the very strength of God. So God is our refuge, God and strength. He then goes on and says, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. That is, as our refuge, as our strength, He's our help. Just by being our refuge, He's our help. Just by being our strength, He's our help. So He is a very present help. And He's our help. What is a help? A help, of course, is one who gives assistance. Can you think of any better assistance than the Most High? We have the assistance of God. A help is one who comes to our aid. He is a very present help in trouble. That is, He comes to our aid. A help is one who gives support. He supports us. He upholds us. Is one who relieves. It's one who brings relief. It's one who alleviates difficulty. He is described here as a help in trouble. A help in trouble. Now, trouble has reference to problems. Is there anyone here that does not have a problem? Every one of us has some problems. God is our help in problems. Trouble refers to difficulties. We all have difficulties. We all have things that we struggle with. God is our help in difficulties. Trouble is the things that causes us concern, causes us anxiety, causes us distress. We all have those things. We all have things that cause us concern. And if we're honest, we all have some things that cause us some distress and some anxiety. God is our help. God is the one who comes to our aid in times of trouble. The word trouble, it has reference to trials. Everyone has trials. Everyone has many trials. You can't get through life without having trials. In fact, there's hardly any time in our life when we're not going through some sort of trial. Life is a life of trials. We say it has reference to griefs, to heartaches. Trouble are the things that cause us grief. Troubles are the things that cause us heartaches. It can have reference to suffering. When we're suffering, we have troubles. But troubles can also have reference to our own shortcomings. And our own shortcomings bring many troubles into our lives. It can have reference to our own failures. And many times it's our own failures that bring so many troubles into our lives. Troubles can have reference to our own weaknesses. In our own imperfections, in our own blemishes. All these things are troubles. All these things are sources of more trouble. Again, is there anyone who does not have some trouble? Everyone has trouble. Everyone has some troubles. There's not a day that goes by where there's not some trouble. Can't get through this world without these troubles. Therefore, since we all have troubles, is there anyone who does not stand in need of help? Is there anyone here that does not stand in need right now? I mean, right this very second, is there anyone who does not stand in need of help? We all do. We all stand in need of help, perhaps in different areas of our life. But if we take a good look, we have many common areas that we stand in need of help. So God is our help in trouble. But then I like that word in. It doesn't just say that God is our help when trouble arises, but He's our help in trouble. You see, that's when I need help, is when I'm in it. When I'm in trouble, that's when I need it. So that word in is a very important word. If you're in something, that means you are engulfed in it. You are surrounded by it. This is not just talking about an occasional trouble. This is talking about troubles that surround us. In trouble. These are talking about troubles that engulf us. God is our help in trouble. Now, how does God help us? You see, we have very limited views concerning God's help. Most of us look at God's help as if limited to the fact that God delivers us. If God delivers us from something, then He's helped us. Well, that's true. But that's not the only way that God helps us. God helps us every single day. God helps us every step of the way. But we, by limiting our definition of help, we fail to see God's help in our lives. We fail to see God's help even when we are in the very midst of trouble. So how does God help us? Well, God helps us by instructing us. Anytime God gives us instruction, He's helped us. Now, you may not follow the instruction, but the very fact that God instructs, He gives help. So if we are in trouble, but God uses the trouble to instruct us, He's helping us. The very trouble helps us. Whatever God uses to instruct is a help. He may send someone to us to give us some instruction. That's God helping. He instructs by giving guidance. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Jesus said there in John 14 that another comforter shall come. He's a comforter. And the Holy Spirit is a helper, and he helps us by guiding us. He helps us by saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Every time God shows you the way to go, is He not helping you? That's God helping. He may not take away the trouble. He may not deliver you from the problem. But if God guides you through the trouble, is that not help? Certainly it is. So God helps us by instructing us. God helps us by guiding us. God helps us by assuring us. While we're in the trouble, and we open His Word and God assures us, or God sends somebody to us to give us a word of assurance, that's help. Again, He doesn't have to remove the trouble in order to help us. He doesn't have to take away the trouble. If He gives us assurance that helps us. He is a help in trouble. And if you and I, in all of our troubles, if we would open our ears and open our eyes and open our hearts, we would find that God is helping us by instructing, by guiding, and by giving us assurance every step of the way. He is a help. God also helps by drawing us. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, I believe it is good for me to draw near to God. That's always true. It's always good to draw near to God. It's always bad not to. So if it's good for me to draw near to God and God draws me to Himself, has He not helped me? Whatever God uses to draw us to Himself, He's helping us. But we're so blind. We seem to think that unless God removes the trouble, unless God takes it away, God isn't helping me. But if He uses a sickness, a death, a trial, an affliction to draw you closer to God, He's helped you. And He is our help in trouble. Therefore, we ought to pray that God would draw us. God helps us by reminding us. And again, Jesus said that of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, and 16. That He would remind the child of God of the words of Christ. And how many times God has helped us by just causing us to remember. Causing us to remember His word. Causing us to remember His promise. Every time God causes us to recall one of His promises, He's helped us. So God helps us by reminding us. God helps us by giving us strength. Again, He is our strength. If God gives us strength to endure, has He not helped us? God helps us by correcting us. When you discipline a child, hopefully you do so to help them. When God disciplines us, when God corrects us, He does so not to harm us. He does so to help us. So we may be in trouble and God may send correction to us in the very midst of that trouble. But in so doing, He's helped us. If we receive the correction, we've been helped. God helps us, of course, by comforting us. By just giving us comfort. But He also helps us by conforming us. By conforming us to the image of Christ. By causing us to be like Christ. He has helped us. God helps us by deliverance. He can take us right out of the trouble. He can lift us up right out of it. In so doing, He's helped us. But He can leave us in the trouble and still help us by all these other ways that we've already mentioned. So He can help by deliverance. He can help by provision. Again, we're needy people. And we're never so needy as when we're in trouble. And God provides. Again, there's no limit to the provision of God. If He provides comfort, if He provides discipline, whatever. His provision is a help. So we read here, God is our refuge. God is our strength. And being our refuge and being our strength, He is our help. Don't ever think, as a child of God, that God is not helping you. God is always helping His children. If you think for a moment that God is not helping you, it's because you have limited your view of help. And you only want to think of God as helping as if He takes away the trouble. And God can do that. But we all know by now that God doesn't always do that. And many times God helps us most when He doesn't take away the trouble. He helps us most by keeping us in the trouble. So He can instruct us. So He can draw us. So He can comfort us. But then notice, He is described here as a very present help. A very present help. That word very is a word full of meaning. Jesus often used that word. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." When Jesus said verily, it meant truly, I say unto thee. We use the word very, we'll say that was very good. That was very tasteful. That was very enjoyable. It's descriptive. And here we read that Jesus is a very present help. The word very means extreme. Extreme. God is an extremely present help. Very is something that exceeds, something that goes beyond. It's something that's exceptional. When we say that was very, very good, we're saying that was exceptional. Jesus is an exceptional help. There's nothing that can compare to the help of God. It means extraordinary. Something that goes beyond ordinary. God is a helper that goes way beyond ordinary help. He is a very help. He is a very present. The word very means tremendous. God is a tremendous help. An immense help. An abundant help. A supreme help. God is a remarkable help. He's a real help. A lot of people will try to help you, but the truth is they don't really help you. They can cause you more harm. In their attempt to help, they can cause you great harm. But that's never so with God. He is a very help. He is an actual help. He is a real help. He is precise in His help. So the word very carries the idea of muchness. In other words, God is much help. And He's our help. He is a very present help. He is a very present help. So the word very describes pleasant or present. And the word very also describes the word help. He is present in an exceeding way. He is present in a tremendous way, an abundant way. He is very present. In fact, you and I can be in trouble. We can be in the very midst of trouble. But God is a very present help in trouble. That means God is more present than the trouble. You can be surrounded by trouble. You can be engulfed in it. You can feel it. You can see it. But God is more real. And God is more present than even the trouble. Now that's a help. God is a very present help in trouble. In other words, God is the very help that you and I need. We all need help. God is present to help us. Notice in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 8 and verse 10. Psalmist is talking about the presence of God here, and he says in verse 8, "If I ascend into heaven, thou art there." I like those three words. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And he's there as a very present help. There isn't anywhere I can go that God is not there. And as a child of God, God is there to help me. Even if I go down into the depths of sin, God is there and God is to help me. He's there to help me, to deliver me from that sin. Verse 10, even there. Again, no matter where you go, even there, God is a very present help. So there is no place where God is not. And perhaps more importantly, there is no place where God is not God. No matter where you go, He's there and He's who He is. God is. So we read here in closing, God is. And you can just think in those two words, and that those two words should give you great comfort. God is. God is. Oh, so-and-so did such-and-such to me. God is. God is. So-and-so let me down. God is. There's much comfort in those two words. God is our. That is, God is for us. He's our refuge. No matter what happens, you and I, as children of God, have a refuge. It's our fault if we don't take advantage of that. God is our strength. God is our muscle. God is our firmness. And we draw from Him. And He is a very present help in trouble. What this verse means is that God's people can face life and everything in life with God's help. We can face it all with God's help. And God has promised to help us. God's people can face all that comes to pass with God's help. We can have confidence in the very midst of crisis. The child of God knows all is well. Why? Because God is a very present help in trouble. Then notice in Psalm 121, and we'll close. Psalm 121. I want to read verses 1 and verse 2. The psalmist says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." From whence cometh my help? I believe those words are always true for the child of God. Cometh my help. God's help is always coming. Verse 2, my help cometh. My help cometh. We just need to keep our eyes open, our ears open, our hearts open, and we will see that God is always, God is always helping us. He's helping me along every step of the way. He's there to help us. We read there in Samuel, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That's true tonight. Up to this point, God has helped us. God has helped us very much. He has never stopped helping us. He's going to continue. He's helped us to this point. Is He going to bring you to this point and then leave you? And suddenly cease being your helper? You say, well, if I fall into sin, God's not going to help me in that. No, He's not going to help you fall into sin, but He'll help you when you're in sin. He'll help you by giving you instruction, giving you guidance. And what's His instruction? Repent. When God tells you to repent, He's helping you. Because when you do that, you'll be helped. So God's always helping us. But how often? You and I are not only are we blind to God's help, because of our limited views of help. How often you and I refuse God's help? Over and over again, we refuse the help of God and turn to the help of man. We turn to that. We long for man to help us. But man is not our strength. God is our strength. Man is not a very present help in trouble. Only God is a very present help in trouble. So don't turn. Don't refuse God's help. And don't be blind to the help of the Lord. He's always helping us every step of the way. That ought to encourage us in the future, and that ought to cause us to give thanks even now. Brother Larry.